Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill. I'm sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, who is away taking care of some other business today. And it's always an honor and a pleasure for me to host a show for Dr. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood and I have been friends for a number of years, and as the time goes by, our friendship just gets closer and stronger. And as I say, it's always such an honor to host his show for him. A little bit about myself. I'm from the Pensacola, Florida area. I'm currently a small business owner. I own an insurance and financial services agency and have for the past 32 years. Before that, I was 10 years active duty in the Air Force after graduating from the Air Force Academy. I have served two terms in the Florida State House, representing a District 2 from 2013 until 2016, and then District 1 from 2018 to 2020. So I'm currently just working in my small business, my insurance and financial services agency, and enjoying a good life. So thankful that Hurricane Ian did not hit this part of the panhandle, this part of Florida. But my prayers go out to those who were affected by that terrible storm. I mean, it was a powerful storm, and I've seen the pictures and some of the videos of the damage and destruction that was taken there, and your heart just goes out to the people who are there. I know what they are going through because we've been hit more than once by some terrible storms, and so I know what they are going through, and believe you me, it is not pleasant for them at this time. So I would ask you to just say a prayer for those in that area. I'm thankful for the fast reaction we saw coming from the DeSantis administration and how the power companies have been working to restore power so quickly to a lot of those affected in the area, and bringing in food and supplies and water and then shelter for the people who have been hit there. And just like we have in the past, we will recover from this storm also. Let's hope that we've learned from the experiences in the past. We'll be able to make that recovery faster, and that when we rebuild, it will be even rebuilt stronger than before the storm. Let's Face the Issues is brought to you in part by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time also has a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including Honda and Echo generators. Tools for a Time staff can answer all of your homeowner and professional and backup power equipment questions. They're located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, near the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295, right at the base of the gigantic 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7. You can reach them online at toolsforatime.com. That's toolsforatime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a great show lined up for you today. Here are just some of the topics that we're going to be talking about. Recently, DACA was ruled illegal, and associated with that, our National Guards have been sent to the southern border. We're also going to talk about Biden's disastrous energy policy. Oh, and this election software CEO who was arrested just recently. The problem is, they didn't arrest him for the right reason. Well, it was good that he was arrested, but he should have been arrested for something else. We'll talk about that. And then, oh, have you heard about the Vermont girls volleyball team, of how they were banned from their locker room, the girls were, because a boy wants to change in front of them and watch them as they change. Utterly insane what we see the left doing. Oh, and then we're going to talk about this. Here's something you may have noticed. I've noticed this probably a couple of years ago. But have you noticed that white people are disappearing from advertising, particularly on TV and on the internet? And I'd like to hear your thoughts about that. And then this is going to be interesting. Who supports protecting memorials, including Confederate memorials? I think the answer to that is going to surprise you. So as we discuss these issues, you're welcome to call in. I would like to hear your thoughts about it. I'd like to see if you have any questions or voice your own opinion. And the number for to call in and join the show is 904-831-0917. Again, that's 904-831-0917. Okay, let's jump right into it. Let's start off first with how a federal appeals court rules that the DACA program is illegal and they order a review of Biden's final review. This was an article in Epoch Times that came out just today, October 6th. And the article goes on to read that, so interesting, and I've read the article and I have some comments on it as we go through the article, because they got so many things right, this appeals court. So a Florida appeals court rules that the DACA program, which stands for the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Program, which shields certain immigrants who came to the United States illegally as children from deportation. This appeals court said that that is illegal, the DACA program. And we're going to talk about why it was called illegal. But first of all, what this DACA program does is that if children came here illegally with their parents years ago, and then grew up, and all they've ever known is living here in the United States, that the DACA program says that they cannot be deported, even though federal law says that they should be because they came here illegally. So the ruling by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals on Wednesday, that was just yesterday, affirms a decision in July 2021 by a Texas federal judge, U.S. District Judge Andrew Hanen, who declared the DACA program illegal and blocked new applications, but kept the policy intact for current beneficiaries. The appeals court similarly left the DACA programs intact for current beneficiaries, which means current DACA recipients can continue to file renewal applications. Okay, a couple of thoughts here. First of all, why did it take so long for a ruling to be made on this case? First of all, the decision was first made in July of 2021 by a Texas federal judge. This program has been in place since 2012. So you're talking almost 10 years before it even got a court hearing. There might be some justifiable reasons for that, but I can't think of any right now. Why it would take so long for this to be attacked, to be blocked. Also, note this, that it left the DACA program intact for current beneficiaries. So in other words, illegals who came into our nation, they crossed the border illegally, did not take the proper route to become legal citizens, which we do have in place right now. Instead, they skirted that system, came in here illegally, brought their children with them, and then applied to be able to receive certain benefits while they are here in the United States, one being not being deported. Well, those who have already applied like that, they can continue to file, to remain a part of the program, and every 2 years, they have to file a renewal application to continue to not be deported. So he said they can remain in a program. However, any new ones will not be allowed to do it. So anyone who's coming across the border illegally now and are bringing their children with them, the children can be deported along with their parents. And by the way, if they came here alone, those children should be deported back to their parents, to their mother and father, so that they can be raised in a proper household. The article goes on to say that the appeals court on Wednesday also sent the case back to Judge Hanen to have him review a revised set of rules that the Biden administration announced just this past August to determine if the Biden rules are legal. The Biden administration's new final rule to preserve and fortify DACA codifies the existing policy with limited changes into federal regulation. It was subject to public comments as part of a formal rulemaking process intended to improve its chances of surviving lawsuits challenging it. So you see what the Biden administration were doing. They were trying to make it a federal regulation, what DACA put in place previously by the Department of Homeland Security, so that making it tougher for lawsuits challenging it. And it was set to be effective October 31st to replace the 2012 Department of Homeland Security memorandum that had created DACA. So note that it was the Department of Homeland Security, a government agency, that had created DACA. And you know, Department of Homeland Security hasn't been around all that long, relatively. It was started after, during the Bush administration, the second Bush administration, after 9/11. So after 9/11, that's when the Department of Homeland Security was created. And in 2012, they set up a memorandum. It wasn't a law. It wasn't a ruling. It was just a memorandum written by Department of Homeland Security that created DACA. So the latest court decision comes as part of an ongoing lawsuit filed by Texas and other Republican-controlled states in 2018. So this memorandum was first written in 2012, and the lawsuits weren't even filed until 2018. And the lawsuits argue that the Obama administration lacked the authority to create DACA. Of course they lacked the authority. This was in 2012 when the Department of Homeland Security, through a memorandum, created DACA. That right there makes the whole thing illegal, and it has no force of Congress or the law behind it. It never should have been put in place in the first place. And even when it did, those states that were affected by it, Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, and other states, Florida, should have ignored it. They should have nullified it, because any time something comes down from Washington, D.C., which does not adhere to our Constitution, then the states have the right to nullify it. That is in accordance with the 10th Amendment to our Constitution, which says that any enumerated powers not listed in the Constitution, if they do not belong to the government, but instead belongs to the states and to the people. Now, the article goes on to say, since its creation in 2012, DACA has granted, get this number, an estimated 800,000 illegal immigrants protection from being deported from the United States. The number is probably over a million. So illegal immigrants were being protected from being deported from the United States. The immigration program was established, as I just stated a little while ago, via Department of Homeland Security memorandum in 2012 under President Barack Obama's administration. It gives eligible recipients known as Dreamers. Remember that when Obama was calling these people Dreamers, those who came here, they simply dream for a better life. Well, there's nothing wrong with that, but you have to do it legally. You don't come here illegally. So they were known as Dreamers, and a renewable two-year reprieve from deportation, as well as work authorization and access to Social Security. So they were given benefits just for coming here illegally. Instead of enforcing the law, the Obama administration went around the law and was allowing those who came here illegally, gives them what are the title is Dreamers, and are able to, every 2 years, seek a reprieve from deportation, as well as they are allowed to work here, taking jobs from legal Americans, those who were born here, those who came here legally. They were able to take work from them and access Social Security, which we all pay for. Now, to his credit, in 2017, President Donald Trump announced he would rescind DACA, but court rulings and the Biden administration have kept DACA in place. So in other words, here's President Trump. He was saying, we are going to get rid of this illegal ruling that was put in place, this illegal memorandum that was put in place under the Obama administration. But of course, whenever President Trump would try to do something, they would take it to these left-leaning courts who would just keep it in place. And then once Biden administration got in office, they said, we're going to keep it in place. We're not going to remove it. So this judge in Texas, name is Hanen, in his decision in July declaring DACA illegal, had stated that DACA goes against the Constitution. Exactly right. It goes against the Constitution, given that Congress never provided the executive branch authorization to grant deportation reprieves to illegal immigrants in the United States. That's exactly right. The executive branch has no power to make a law or even issue a ruling that goes against the law, which means grant deportation reprieves to illegal immigrants. So this judge made that ruling. It was appealed, went to the Fifth Circuit Court, and at the Fifth Circuit Court, Chief Judge Priscilla Richmond of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals wrote in the opinion on Wednesday, the district court's excellent opinion correctly identified fundamental substantive defects in the program. That's beautiful. The DACA memorandum contracts significant parts of the Immigration and Naturalization Act. She added, DACA creates a new class of otherwise removable aliens who may obtain lawful presence, work authorization, and associated benefits. Congress determined which aliens can receive these benefits, and it did not include DACA recipients among them. She goes on with her opinion. We agree with the district court's reasoning and its conclusion that the DACA memorandum contravenes comprehensive statutory schemes for removal, allocation of lawful presence, and allocation of work authorization. The Justice Department under the Biden administration did not immediately signal whether it would appeal this latest decision. If it files a formal appeal, the case would go to the U.S. Supreme Court. And let's hope that the U.S. Supreme Court doesn't even take up this case, which they should not, because the correct decision was made. The decision was made that the executive branch, that the Department of Homeland Security has no authorization to make a ruling or a law that was not given to it by Congress, creating this different class of people who says that they can get around the law and not have to be deported for coming here illegally. I love it. So we have some good news every once in a while, despite what the Biden administration is trying to do to us. Speaking of what they're trying to do to us, what about Biden's disastrous energy policy that we are seeing? I read the other day that gas in some places is up to $6.61. I think it's out in California, and it serves those knuckleheads right. The decisions that are made out in California are insane. They're simply insane, what you see coming from Gavin Newsom and the leftist legislative body that's out there. They make crazy decisions. There is a drought in California right now that was created, man-made, created by these leftist decisions. They have a waterway that has been set up in California, and it goes through many different western states, that as the water travels from the north down towards the south, it is collected and then distributed down a beautifully engineered waterworks system that is in place. And as it travels down south, these leftist environmentalists were saying that we must protect this little fish or this little lizard or this little insect that lives in these waterways as it goes down. And so they block the water from traveling down to where it is needed, and instead they will release it out into the San Francisco Bay. If that's not insane, I don't know what else is. Here are people who need water. The farmland that needs water is being diverted out into the Pacific Ocean because these crazy leftists out in California want to protect a little fish or little lizard or little insect. Utterly insane. And so the Biden administration, which is a part of the Looney Tunes left, when Biden first came into office, one of the very first executive orders he did was to shut down the Keystone Pipeline, was to shut down fracking on federal lands, which severely affected our ability to get oil and gas. When President Trump was in office, we were energy sufficient. We were exporting energy to other countries. We were energy independent. Now, Biden administration, by coming in and reversing a lot of what the Trump administration had in place, including allowing the Keystone Pipeline to operate, allowing fracking on federal lands, which, by the way, because of that technology of fracking, we had oil reserves in the ground that were larger than the entire Middle East. And by the way, it's still there. But the Biden administration, because of their crazy energy policies based on their lunatune belief that humans can affect climate change, this whole idea that climate change is anthropogenic, again, it's just insane. It's almost unfathomable to try and think how the left thinks, because it doesn't make any sense. It really does not. Our climate changes. It is affected by the rotation and oscillation of our planet. And as it rotates and oscillates, then the waters in our oceans are heated and cooled. And as these waters travel around the Earth, it changes our climate. That is what happens with climate change. And it looks like we have a caller. We have a call from Jim. Jim, please go ahead with your question or your comment, please.
Hey, Mike, how you doing today?
Doing great, Jim. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, sir. I just kind of tuned in there. Did you mention about the OPEC decision yesterday? Instead of 1 million, they actually upped that to a production cut of 2 million barrels a day?
I heard about that, Jim, but I had not gotten to it yet. Thank you for bringing that up. It did.
Yeah.
They increased their production to 2 billion barrels a day. Jim, what is that going to do to the Biden administration energy policy?
Well, the energy let me rephrase that and start back over. This administration feels that the release of our strategic reserve as a quantitative ease measurement, like they do with the money, is kept the prices down and stable. With a production cut by the OPEC, oil producing energy consortium there, by their production cut, they originally said 1 million. They got together somewhere in Switzerland or Austria and said 2 million. And they're going to enact that either late October or early November. That is going to have a direct effect on the speculators. They're already doing that now, and you saw oil by the barrel jump up overnight. As far as anthropological global warming there, a lot of people don't factor in the sun, our solar output of our sun. It goes through natural cycles just like the Earth does. And they are fooling themselves into believing that man can do that. That's just a complete
Jim, lie. You're absolutely right on all points. To them, it is a religion. They don't look at logic and common sense. They think that they actually have the ability to control our climate, and how they control it is by taxing us, by taking money from us, and by stopping the use of oil and petroleum and coal. They honestly believe that, which is insane. It's a religion to them, instead of recognizing, as you said so accurately, Jim, that the sun is the primary factor of climate change here on Earth and what it does to our climate. Jim, thank you for the call. Really appreciate
it.
Ladies and gentlemen, take a hard break. We're going to get back after the break at the top of the hour. Stay right there. Still have a lot of things we want to discuss. This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Youngblood.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.